I don't know. Can I have my wonderful husband assistant, or Phil, are you able to just bring the table on for me? And my other props. I don't know where they are. Great start, great start. Okay, morning church. It's been a while since I was stood here because I've had a beautiful little girl. So I feel a bit out of place. I feel a bit nervous. So bear with me this morning. But my message to you on this wonderful Mother's Day is peace I give to you, which obviously we heard from that fantastic Chinese Whisper Challenge. Now, when I was praying and speaking to God about today, that's really what I felt drawn to. And it's some of what I've been learning in a book recently. And while the author doesn't appear to be a Christian, so I'm not endorsing this book, okay? But God has really used it. You know when God just uses books sometimes, or things that you read or podcasts, just to really speak to you? And to my words, my thoughts, my actions. And the concept this book is about let them. And the author often says, let them and let me. But I say, absolutely not. Let's declare, let them and let God. And I am a simple kind of gal, for those of you that know me. So although you might be sitting here today and you've heard a million talks and podcasts on peace, I really, really believe that this is a timely message that God has put on my heart. So please be open to what God might be sharing with us this morning, myself included. And I'm just going to talk very briefly today on letting God's peace reign over us and living in the stillness of his peace, about knowing that we can't have control over everything and everyone, which I know is a struggle, but we can have peace knowing that our Lord Jesus is in control. And it's knowing that we cannot control the actions of others and the circumstances around us, but we only have control over our own thoughts, our own actions. And I often think, why are we wasting those precious God-given moments worrying about things that we simply cannot control? Now, when I was pregnant, Isaac and I were looking to move house because our house just, the layout didn't work for a baby. So we were searching and searching. Hands up if you've been that place before. We've been searching for a new home, a new place to live, a new place to rent. Yeah. It's a stressful time, isn't it? And it felt like we'd seen 1,000 homes. And I know it wasn't that, but it felt like it. And we just couldn't find one. And then we found one. We went to this house viewing. There was 14 other people viewing it at the same time. But I walked in and I had this peace within me. And I don't mean that kind of peace, you know, when the kids have gone to bed, you're sitting on the sofa with a cup of tea. I don't mean that kind of peace. I mean this inner soul peace. That's what I had. And I know it sounds crazy, but I said like to Isaac, this feels like our home. Like this is it. So I was buzzing, as you can imagine. But I was thinking, oh, you know, 14 people. And we put in an offer, and we got down to the final two. How exciting. But we didn't get it. And another family got it. And I was genuinely heartbroken. I didn't think I could be that sad about a building, about a house. But I was, because I truly felt like it was our home. And from then on, I really did try and control the narrative. I rang the estate agent. I was trying to persuade them, you know, we're a new family. We're about to have a little girl, please. You know, like, oh, I didn't know little girl then, little baby, please, you know. And she was like, oh, but so are the other family that are moving in. You know, I was trying to do everything. And at one point, I was so convinced that I was going to knock on the door of this lady's home and convince her to change her mind. And at that point, I think Isaac thought maybe he'd married a crazy lady. But, you know, pregnancy hormones, they do things to you. That's what I'm blaming. But I cannot tell you how I was just trying to control this narrative because I was convinced. And months went by looking at other houses. And, you know, the final straw was when I was heavily pregnant. And we went to this home and they said, you know, they sell the dream, don't they? And he said, no, it's decent sized bedrooms. And at that moment, when we were sidestepping round the room, because that's how small it was, I thought, I can't do this anymore. And I know it sounds like a first world problem, but I went home and I said, Lord, I can't do this anymore. I'm tired, I'm pregnant, and I still want that home. And the very next morning, my dad spoke to me. He's amazing. And he just said that he was praying over us and said, I know God is going to give you the desires of your hearts, Emily and Isaac. I don't know what that looks like. And he told me not to lose hope. But to be honest, I had by that point. I kid you not, church. Later that day, I get a phone call. And it's the estate agent from a few months before. And she says, hi, Emily, are you still looking for a house? I said, yeah, still looking, can't find anything. She went, well, you know the house that you absolutely loved before? Well, it's fallen through, and the lady's contacted me saying that she wants you guys to have it. And I just thought, Lord, I said to her on the phone, are you winding me? Like, I couldn't believe it. She was like, I wouldn't joke like that, you know. And I honestly was blown away. And Isaac and I were chatting about it afterwards. Like, why didn't we get it the first time round? And we knew it's because we wouldn't have a testimony like we do now. Because we'd have just said, we put in an offer and we got the house. Yay! Whereas now, the testimony that we have and the peace that God gave, and I knew I should have trusted that peace, but I didn't. And it was from him. And we all have moments. I'm sure you're sitting there now and you can think about moments in your life where stress takes over and we no longer feel God's unwavering peace. And we try and control the narrative around us, don't we? Instead of asking God for both his peace and his wisdom. Maybe at this point in your life, you're feeling frustrated by how a colleague doesn't seem to be pulling their weight at work, but is getting the promotion ahead of you. Maybe you feel as though a friend isn't putting an equal effort into your friendship, despite you speaking to them about how you feel. Perhaps you worry that people are speaking behind your back. Perhaps a fellow student at uni is achieving better grades, although they are just not working as hard as you. And the moment we say, let them, the moment that we ask God for his peace in every situation and not try and control the narrative, then, church, we find that true freedom. So let them. Why can't we let them decide what they want to do, how they want to respond? What we can control is how we are Christ-like. What we can control is how we respond, how we act, how we represent Christ, how we trust in him. And this doesn't mean that we don't challenge those around us when they make mistakes or maybe aren't living a way that we know is God's best for them. But it's about if we're going around life trying to control the narrative, church, we are only going to cause ourselves anguish and stress over things we cannot control. But who is in control? Our Lord Jesus Christ. And peace will not come from that. So let them and let God reign over you. Ask God for his peace and his wisdom in how to respond. And I genuinely live by this. This is what I mean. This has changed my kind of concept at the minute and moving forward. Like at work, when I don't agree with someone, when I feel let down by people, I say, God, let them and let you. I want you to take over. Give me your peace. I want to live for an audience of one. And there's a quote, the truth is other people hold no real power over you unless you give it to them. And however, we must hold all of this in tension. As I said, you know, we must seek the Lord and ask the Holy Spirit for his guidance in everything. Sometimes the Spirit may be nudging us to not let them, to keep going after them, to keep trying and trying again, to speak to them, to challenge them in a godly way. But where the issue lies is when we let people's opinions and actions take us away from trusting God, his guidance, and his peace. Now, a really well-known story that many of you will know in the room is Mark 4, verse 35 to 41. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind them, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with them. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." I'm blown away by that. Even the wind and the waves obey him. And so Jesus stood up in that story and he spoke to the storm and he said, "Peace, be still. Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And so we know, church, that peace isn't about the absence of storms because life is full of storms. But Jesus is calm and he brings the calm even when the storm is raging. And I want this line to stay with you. Peace comes from trusting God, not controlling the circumstances. Amen. And the disciples, they tried to control the situation with fear and with panic. But here we can see that Jesus showed real peace. And that real peace comes when we release that control and trust in God. And just as we cannot control the storms of life, like I say, we also cannot control other people's actions. And in those moments of worry and of panic, we must be reminded of the power in the name of Jesus. Now, you may be wondering why I have this Coke bottle. I'm not here to, you know, represent Coke in any way. I actually don't really like Coca-Cola. But I'm here to do a little analogy with you, church, this morning. So if this doesn't work, then forgive me. So, here we go. I may need some assistance if this doesn't work. Okay. So as I put this rice in this bottle this morning, this really does represent the chaos that we experience in life. The chaos that happens in the world. Maybe it's trying to work through that work-home-life balance. Maybe it's the stress of bringing your children up in this world and trying to navigate it. Maybe it's the uncertainty of the future. Maybe it's financial insecurity. The world is full of chaos. The world is full of storms. Maybe it's work deadlines or job insecurity, financial problems or debt, exams or academic pressure, major life changes, moving house, new job, relationship breakdown, family conflict, lack of time, feeling overwhelmed, illness or fear of illness, work-life balance, uncertainty, loss, grief, feelings of anxiety, war and conflict, politics, and what is happening in the world around us. But Jesus speaks peace. Jesus speaks peace. And in the storm and in the chaos, he speaks peace. And notice something, just in this little analogy, I didn't have to force that rice to settle. It settled instantly. And that is like the peace that we can have in our lives, in our souls. That unwavering peace that can only come from Christ. And I can be confident that if I did this again, the same thing happens. Because God's peace isn't a one-time thing, church. He can give you peace in every single one of your circumstances. John 14:27, as we say today, says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Let God have his say over your life, church. Let his peace and presence rule and reign in your everyday life, even in the mundane moments, on your way into work, to uni, to school. So I just want you to take 30 seconds. What do you think this looks like in your life? What does God's unwavering peace in the midst of the storms look like in your life today? And I just want to close my short message this morning by saying this. There is power in the name of Jesus. And I mean the name of Jesus. So if we don't already, maybe this isn't something that you're used to doing. I really want to encourage you in your daily life to start speaking his name over your everyday situations. So as you come to tomorrow morning, we must remember that Jesus' name carries power. I speak peace in the name of Jesus. I speak against anxiety I'm feeling in the name of Jesus. I speak your light and life into this situation in the name of Jesus. The power in his name is incredible. And maybe God has spoken to you personally this morning. Maybe you feel as though you often want to control the narrative. You want to control the circumstances, the people around you. Perhaps you want to know more of God's peace and less stress in your life. Perhaps today you want to declare that there is power in the name of Jesus, then I would love to pray for you. I don't know if we can have the band join us. So if this is you, I am going to ask you to do something really brave, and I am going to ask you to stand if you feel as though this message has spoken to you. And I'm going to just declare some truths over you today, church. If you just want to stand with me, if you feel as though this message is spoken to you, I know it's brave, but I just want to declare some truths over you this morning, church. I declare this morning, Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7, do not be anxious about anything. but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I declare today that you would know God's peace over your life, and that his peace would reign. I declare in the name of Jesus that you would know today, standing here, God's freedom in giving him control instead of trying to control people and situations around us. I pray that you would know God's freedom and joy in the midst of moments of stress and chaos. I pray that you would let them and let God. I pray John 14:27 over you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. So, Lord, I declare these things over us as a church today and over every single person standing. The message of your peace doesn't get old. It doesn't matter how many times we hear about it, because, Lord, there is nothing in this world that brings peace like you. Peace that does surpass all human understanding. And I declare today, in the name of Jesus, freedom over those who are feeling fearful and anxious, that are stressed, that are swept up with the chaos and the storms of life. And as we go into our mundane, everyday moments, that we would know the joy in the name of Jesus Christ, the joy that your peace can bring, that people would start asking us, why do you seem so peaceful when everything is so stressful? And we can declare and we can share the good news of Jesus Christ with them. So, Lord, I declare that this morning over each and every one of us and those people standing, that your peace would reign. And we say, let God this morning. Amen.